let's back up. You, over the weekend, that Saturday, the decision was made. By the next week, that the decision was made that Coach Underwood was going to leave. You have publicly spoken. I've taken calls on the upsettedness, the disgruntlement of some of the fans towards Mike Holder specifically. You know that because you've seen the emails. What was it like in that department? Because there were a ton of people in that department who loved Brad Underwood. I mean, people that were high ups that had just sold this guy, had continued to promote this guy, they were stoked that he was the guy, and they felt like he was going to be, just like you did, was going to be the here until he retired. When that didn't happen, what was the anger inside that department? Was there any?
I didn't sense it.
Because they're scared of you. Because you're cold and hard.
Okay.
I wouldn't have said anything to you either, I don't think.
Well, you know, Casey, if you say that enough times, you're going to make it true. Why don't you start getting on the radio and talking about how touchy-feely I am?
I wouldn't see, but I think you have never called me and said, hey, Casey, get off of that subject, quit talking about that. If I said you were touchy-feely, you might call me and go, would you quit that nonsense? It's just not true. But what about, you know, we heard Regents were calling Burns Hargis, and they were upset. Hey, this should have never happened. Was there any real tension inside?
Well, I think there was a sense of urgency to deal with the issues and get a solution, and everybody should have been upset. They had every reason to be upset. I was upset about it, and I'm the guy that's responsible, so their anger was focused in the right place. But it's never been about me, and it never will be about me. I'm supposed to facilitate. I shouldn't be in the spotlight. I should be in the background. The spotlight should be on the athletes. It shouldn't be on the coaches either. When it becomes about me or it becomes about the particular coach, then your chance at greatness has dissipated. Coaching at the highest level has to be unselfish. It has to be about other people. And it's giving.
That playbook is getting erased, unfortunately. Now, not necessarily at Oklahoma State, but at times it is. Right? I mean, would you say when you started versus today, it's not as much, that's not as true of a statement?
I'd like to think it's still true today. Maybe you're right. I think the money has distorted things. You know, you're conflicted in major college athletics today because you're on a university campus. Your mission is to educate. The athletes are no different than everyone else on campus. They're all students. Whether you're a golf coach or a basketball coach, you're still teaching a class. You're supposed to be making a difference in young people's lives. The course you're teaching is a little different than math or history, but it's still teaching nonetheless. And as long as coaches made the same money as professors, I think it existed with a lot less tension and there was less conflict. But today, with the money distorted and coaches and for some sports are making millions of dollars, it changes the dynamic, maybe changes the focus, changes the conversation, makes it challenging when the student athletes are still on room, board, books, tuition, and fees. Now they get a, you know, cost of living stipend or whatever you want to call it, full cost of attendance. But still, there's a huge gap there, a discrepancy. And so because of that gap, people mm-hmm. lose sight of what you're here for. You're here to get an education, and oh, by the way, a select few get the privilege of playing competitive athletics. I would give everything back that I have and go back tomorrow and relive my 4 years with Laban Harris Sr. in a minute, the greatest 4 years of my life. My relationship with Laban Harris still impacts me today. He's still in my head talking to me at this moment. I never had more fun. I never worked harder. I never wanted something more than I did back then. And I never fell as short of my goals as I did back then. I never was what I wanted to be or dreamed to be. But I luckily ended up on a college campus where I could continue to relive that dream for another 32 years. So College athletics is wonderful, wonderful, and it does marvelous things, but I think the money has distorted things. I tell our basketball coaches, people come in the building to see joy, happiness, passion. They want to see those players play with unbridled enthusiasm. They want to look at a coach that's positive, puts off positive energy, and everybody comes in the building and you leave happy. You've got plenty of problems on the outside. You darn sure don't want to witness those when you come in the building. And when it's done right, there's never enough seats in the building. And when something's missing, it doesn't take very long to start looking around, and it's pretty empty in there. So I don't know really what it's like around the country. You know, I read the newspapers, but you never know how much of that's accurate.
Sure.
I just like to think on our campus we still are kind of a throwback to the good old days, and I hope the good old days never come to pass at Stillwater, Oklahoma, and on our campus. And it's about kids and having fun. It's a game. Have fun. If you're not having fun, somebody's messing it up.
We're all but out of time, so I'm not going to get to all the different challenges of paying one coach and then having that have implications on other coaches in your department, all the things that are involved there. We won't get a chance to talk about that. You're normally a one-man committee. There were several in that room, different seemingly to me than it has been in the past. You know, maybe that's for another show, another time. I got to ask you an unfair question, perception. This is always there. Every Cowboy fan, I promise you, every Cowboy fan out there has heard this, that if something happens to Boone Pickens, it is written in somewhere, the annals of somewhere, there will be continued donations as long as Mike Holder is the AD. Confirm, deny?
Well, that's absolutely false.
Not true at all.
Not true at all. Boone Pickens gave all that money, absolutely no strings attached. He has
But there's no additional money.
Who cares about additional money?
Well, I'm just telling you, I hear that all the time.
Who cares about additional money? Are you? He's given. I can't even count how much he's given already.
You know, but that's sidestepping the point, the issue. If something were to happen to Boone Pickens, would you still be our athletic director?
Well, I wouldn't be the athletic director if it hadn't been for Boone Pickens. I'd
sure.
still be coaching golf.
Sure.
I did not want to be the athletic director. But I wanted things to happen for football primarily, and I wanted us to have a chance at better prospects on Saturday afternoon in the fall when we kicked off the football. And both of us were tired of looking at that rusted out old relic of a football stadium. And we talked about this when he didn't have very much money.
Yeah,
we hunted quail and fantasized, and then all of a sudden in 2000 he started making money, and I finally looked at him and I said, listen, you're finally got enough money that you can do some of the things we've been dreaming about. But it got down to the fact that he wanted someone he could trust in there, and to do that I had to turn my back on what I loved, which coaching golf. But as I said, it's never been about me. It's always been about either the golf program and our athletes, or is in this new role, it's about Oklahoma State University athletics across the board. And I'm there to serve. I'm serving our athletes every day, our coaches every day, our fans every day. And when I'm no longer doing a good job, if there's an erosion of trust and confidence and I can no longer lead in a positive way, it's time for me to go. I'll be gone.